Welcome in, guys, to Locked On Knicks. We are doing Trade Bag, Volume 2, the return of the bag. I don't know. Put the bag over your head. It's coming for you. It's a horror movie this time. Jeez. Some of these trades are maybe horror shows. So, yeah, it's the return of the bag. It's very grisly. As a matter of fact, our first couple trades that we're going to break down in this very special Trade Bag, Volume 2, are trades that bring back former Knicks that you may or may not feel good about. So there's two trades. They're both, this is how I always pronounce it, is OCAC. Once a Knick, always a Knick. Two trades like that. That's how we're going to start off.
I've been wondering for the last 2 days what that was, Alex. And now I finally know. All right. And then we're getting into two more with a friend of the show, friend of the me, Jeremy Caplet, and a guy I don't know, Jose Dengo. Two deals with the Kings. Great to deal with the Kings. They're great, great tradesmen. And the good news is you always win when you trade with the Kings.
And then lastly, we're going to get into one trade that was unfortunately kind of Knicks today, but it was with the Sixers sending Noah Vonleh over there. But we're going to figure out a way to rework it because it's an interesting concept given what happens over there. And then we've got one last mega trade for the last one. So all that and more is coming up in Locked On Knicks right now.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Knox foul from behind, counted at one. As Fisdale pumps his fist.
What he does is contagious.
Robinson with a catch and slam. Across the lane to Trier. Trier drives.
Becomes infectious.
All right, welcome in, guys. Locked On Knicks. I'm Alex Wolf. He's Gavin Shaw, breaking down some of your trades, the Trade Bag Part 2. Getting ready for the trade deadline later today, 3 p.m., I believe, right? So we got some mock trades here from some different people on the internets. Some of you guys hit us up on Locked On Knicks. To fill out the show a little bit, I snagged a couple from the Posting and Toasting trade bag as well, because I'm doing a trade bag on there too. So they were all sent to me. Who cares? It doesn't matter who it was sent for. It's just mock trades, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to start off with one from Kenny, who goes by at Black Messiah in all caps. And this was from Twitter. And his trade, Gavin, is the Knicks get OCAC, Jerry and Grant, and the Nets second round pick for this year. And the Orlando Magic get Emmanuel Mudiay, a.k.a. Dr. Boudier. No. Dr. J, Mr. Boudier. I'm sorry. I always fuck that up, and it's my own nickname. Whatever. But yeah, what do you think of this trade?
Prodigal son returns to New York. I was so into Jerry and Grant when they made the trade. One of my friends went to Notre Dame, and she was like, oh, yeah, he's great. He's great. I'm like, you sure? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, I watched some highlights. I thought he was great, too. Good passer. I'm a sucker for tall point guards. I just thought he was going to be the next great one for the Knicks, and he fell just short of those expectations, but now they get a second run with him, and they maybe, some would say, more importantly, pick up a second round pick that should be right around the middle of round number two via the Nets. And Emmanuel Mudiay, I think, would be a great fit in Orlando because they have desperately, desperately needed a point guard over the last few years. As bad as the Knicks point guard situation was going into this season, I feel like Orlando's was even worse, and you could even say they were comparable to Phoenix and how desperate they've been to find a ball handler. So Mudiay would be treated like a god there, and I feel like he's just dying for that. Like, he finally has, like, at least a season worth of competent play for the Knicks this year, immediately gets kicked out for DSJ and presumably Frank Ntilikina when he comes back from injury. So I think we do Mudiay some justice by sending him to the Magic, who could actually really, really use him.
Yeah, I don't want to say with any confidence that Mudiay has been kicked out of anything yet, because I realistically think that Fizdale could wind up still giving him minutes, and I hope not, but it could be at the expense of Frank, which would suck. But yeah, I mean, this would be certainly be a way to, you know, pigeonhole Fizdale into only using Frank and Dennis Smith Jr. now for the rest of the season, is to get rid of Moutier, his like favorite child on the whole team, that he, you know, pointed out right from his introductory press conference all the way up till now. So, yeah, I like it too, though. I mean, I don't think Jerry and Grant's really going to move the needle at all. He would maybe move the tank needle a little bit. He would move us further towards Zion, hopefully. This move would maybe please the tank gods, and they would smile upon us for, you know, trading away the one player that we've sort of like developed and turned into something this year for a guy who's been not all that great for pretty much his whole NBA career so far. So, but yeah, I am a fan of bringing back guys that used to be Knicks too for a second run around for whatever reason, because I feel like it doesn't happen that often, even though there's been so many guys that have come through the door. I don't think there's too many that come back for a second go around. So it would be fun to have Jerrion back for that, have a couple moments, you know, with him before we probably just let him go in the off season or whatever. But yeah, I kind of dig it. And then that second round pick obviously is good too. I mean, it's trending towards probably being in the middle of the draft, you know, somewhere in the 15 to 20 range, because it looks like they'll probably make the playoffs as like the 6 or 7 or so seed. So, you know, that's fine. You know, that's good. I trust our front office to find someone in the second round that could hopefully either be a good stash player overseas or someone who could actually be a contributor pretty much right from the rip. So I'm into it. I like this trade. That's just my take.
I think you hit on something pretty good there. People always talk about reforming the lottery and completely shifting how we go about it. I like the idea of it being just a totally subjective art form. Like the NBA just puts together a panel of objective judges to determine which team has the most artful tank. Like trading a Moutier for a Jerrion Grant, like that would maybe get you like 10 to 15 points. And like for the Knicks, like if they decided to start Mitchell Robinson at point guard for the final 15 games of the season, that would be worth like 100 points. But meanwhile, in Chicago, they're forcing Zach LaVine to stay back on defense every possession. That would be like 1,000 points. I don't know. I think that's kind of an interesting concept. And I think it would make NBA basketball a lot more fun down the stretch. Maybe some purists would disagree with that, but to those people, I would say you are no fun.
I would say your fun is most people's miserable, at least if you're a fan of the teams. if you're like us and you have to watch like all of the games minute to minute, you know, from wire to wire, I feel like that would just make you very, very miserable very quickly. But from an outside perspective, it would be extremely entertaining. It would be a total clown show and it would be great and it would be so much fun. So I would enjoy all the other teams doing their tank, artful tanking, as you put it. I would not enjoy the Knicks doing their artful tanking, even if I think that Mitchell Robinson, a point guard, could just do a Michael Jordan in Space Jam and dunk it from like the, you know, 5 feet past the 3-point line. So,
okay. One final suggestion on that. Enes Kanter is only allowed to shoot between the 2 3-point arcs, and Luke Kornet is only allowed to play within 2 feet of the basket on both ends of the floor.
Yikes. Well, that actually works out good on defense for Luke, but offense, that would kind of suck. That's kind of his sweet spot on defense, though, so I'm all right with that. We'd have a pretty good rim protector, and especially if they would eschew the defensive three in the key for him, that would be pretty nice. So I'm down with that. But anyway, all right, I think I'm about ready to move on to this next one, because this next one is really funny and entertaining. So I'm ready to move on to that. But thank you to Kenny for that first trade. Second trade here, we got from Danny Fluidity. That's at DBL Fluidity on Twitter. And this was another one that was sent to Posting and Toasting on Twitter. So we got, this is the ultimate OCAC trade. And I know this is one that'll be very near and dear to your heart, Gavin. And we'll get into it right now. I won't announce who the Knicks get until the end. I'll just announce the other players first. The Cavs get, and this can't happen based off what we saw literally before we started recording, that Zach Randolph is going to the Mavericks as part of a package for Harrison Barnes. But let's pretend that that didn't happen, because, you know, whatever. Things keep changing so rapidly. This is like the craziest trade deadline in the last like 15 years, it feels like. So the Cavs get Zach Randolph. The Kings get DeAndre Jordan. The Lakers get the great, amazing Isaiah Hicks, the two-way sensation on the Knicks. And the Knicks get J.R. Smith, Tyson Chandler, Iman Shumpert, and who's also traded somewhere else. He got traded to the Rockets like right before this. God, everything is blowing up around us. And then the Knicks sign Carmelo Anthony and find Landry Fields wherever he is at this point in his life. Re-sign them and create like a weird Franken team of the 11 to 12 and 12 to 13 Knicks. So how are you feeling about this trade?
Oh man, I've gone through two pairs of pants just since you started talking. This is incredible. And talk about an artful tank rebuilding that version of the New York Knicks. I mean, it would just be an absolute joy, and just the mentorship program would be incredible. You got Tyson Chandler working with Mitchell Robinson, Shumpert with Dotson, Mello with Knox, Fields with Cornette, J.R. Smith teaching everyone how to make and simultaneously throw soup. This just works on all levels. I'm in love with it. This is my favorite trade of the two podcasts.
Yeah, I think it would be fun. Like, on the real, this trade would be super fun for that one game where everybody turned back the clock and it looked just like 2012-13 and the Knicks like smoked somebody. And then like for all the rest of the games, it would just be a miserable slog and there would probably be a lot of tension in the locker room and stuff because there's a lot of personalities that have only gone south since they left the Knicks and they weren't exactly that far north when they started. So yeah, it would be an interesting one. I will say though, this is like serious stuff that maybe I'll get into on another show sometime. Maybe we could do like a who we want the young Knicks to train with over the summer show or something. But like on the real, I really do want Kevin Knox to train with Carmelo Anthony in some way and learn some of his moves. Because I think if he learned not necessarily like jab stepping for 10 straight minutes and that sort of thing, but learning like Melo's jab step and some of Melo's other moves, I think would be super beneficial to Knox with the way that he plays. So with like needing to create space like he does right now, which he kind of has a difficult time doing. So that's definitely something like IRL I'd like to see, just not like actually on the Knicks. It's just like in the Black Ops gym during the off season, like at those Black Ops scrimmages or whatever. That I would be totally cool with.
Yeah, Kevin, you got to step at least 15 times before you brick the shot at the buzzer. If not, people won't take you seriously as a player. But no, I do kind of like that because they both kind of have that same build and that same relative, like both kind of have like sneaky explosion, but like it's not like it's not immediately off the dribble. It's usually like after like a bit of waiting and then like a little bit of pondering and then they both kind of go for it. So I think there are some similarities there. And like Melo can teach Knox how to sort of make the best out of that archetype of game. So I do kind of enjoy that. I just want to know what Rasheed Wallace and Steve Novak are doing these days. Like if those guys are available too, I think you could really fill out a full roster. And I will also note that I think Dennis Smith running point guard for this group of players would just be extraordinarily toxic and would earn a lot of points from our hypothetical tank judges just because for as good as he's played these first two games, like he clearly like does not want to play without the ball. And I can imagine that coming up with J.R. Smith and Carmelo Anthony. So at least for me, that's all the thoughts I have on this one. But
I do have one more thing to add for you that you may not have known since like, you know, it's well established that you missed kind of the first part of the Knicks season.
Sure.
So you said Rasheed Wallace, you know, he actually did come with the team already. Like he already came in and mentored Mitch Robinson for like a day.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That was earlier this season. So I'm actually holding out hope that he comes back again because it was like early in the season. I can't for the life of me remember what game it was at this point because it was like so long ago, but it was when Mitch debuted the headband. Because he did that as an homage to Rasheed Wallace, and he's pretty much worn the headband every time since then. And yeah, Sheed came to practice, like apparently was super hands-on with Mitch for this one practice. And then the next game he came out, and at the time, actually, I guess it still stands because the other night he had 13 points and that matched his career high. I think that was the night that he set his career high of 13 points was the night after Rasheed Wallace had been at practice the day before or whatever. So yeah, just fun little trivia for you, Gavin, just to catch you up on things.
Yeah, but you know, he hasn't, I don't think he's been ejected once, so I can't imagine the lesson really took.
Anyway. I haven't heard him yell Baldo in live once either. So maybe he does it under his breath. Mitch is like too quiet right now.
Yeah. He's actually like saying like horrible things to the refs. They just haven't heard him. They're like, what was that? And he's like, oh, no, nothing. Good call. All right. With that, we wrap up segment number one, trade bag part two. We move on to Jeremy Caplet and Jose Dango's trades next on Locked On Knicks. Welcome back into Locked On Knicks. We mentioned it yesterday, but just wanted to remind you, the Locked On Podcast Network is going live with an NBA trade deadline special Thursday at 1:30 Eastern, live on YouTube on the Locked On Fantasy Basketball channel. It's going to be hosted by our boss and Utah Jazz play-by-play man, David Locke, and fantasy expert Josh Lloyd, plus all the local experts of the Locked On Podcast Network. That includes yours truly. I'm going to come on with the Mavs guys at 1:35. We're going to relitigate the Kristaps Porzingis trade. In case you missed it, Alex was actually on their podcast at the end of last week. So if you haven't given that a listen, I'd recommend you go back and check that out. But you want my hated perspective on it? It's evolved over time. It's a little bit in line with what more of you would enjoy, I would say, at this point. We're going to break that down, and we're going to break down all the deals, give the fantasy perspective on all those deals, and the local angles. It all starts Thursday at 1:30 Eastern, 90 minutes before the trade deadline, on YouTube at the Locked On Fantasy Basketball channel. So that is certainly something to watch out. Knicks fan of the general NBA, it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't think there's any other service, ESPN or otherwise, that can offer that, where you're actually getting people who are on the ground in all these cities giving their local expertise. So with that, let's continue with the trade bag. It's trade number 7 over the course of these last 2 days. And this one comes from my longtime friend, my high school buddy, my current New York Rec Center running mate, Jeremy Caplet. And he suggests the Knicks send Wes Matthews to Sacramento, who have a little bit of less of a need for Wes Matthews now that they got Harrison Barnes, but they could always use the wing depth, for Amon Shumpert, who, as we said earlier, is now in the Rockets, and Orlando's second-round pick this year. So this kind of makes sense for the Knicks in that they would pick up a second-round pick and potentially a second one if they can pull off that Moutier to the Magic deal.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you know what? I'm pulling up Sacramento's salaries now because I do think now that they have Barnes – like, unfortunately, they don't have Shump and they don't have Randolph anymore, who are the big, expiring contracts for them. But there might still be enough that we could cobble together, because they should definitely at this point try to go all out, make the playoffs, and maybe even try to make a little noise at this point, because they're a team that was like already pretty good and they seem to be getting better with this Barnes trade, I think, because Barnes is for sure an upgrade on Shump. And you know, Randolph wasn't even playing, and they traded Justin Jackson also, who, you know, was playing a little bit and playing fairly decent in that time, but like really the only guy that they traded that was playing truly like big minutes was Shumpert, and Shumpert for Barnes is like not even a question. Like, that's like a really good deal for them. So let's just take a quick look. Oh, they still have Costa Kufis. I forgot all about that. So Costa Kufis is an expiring, so is Ben McLemore, and neither of them play a ton for them either, do they? Like,
no.
Kufis averages 12 minutes, and
yeah, and the way
McLemore averages 8 minutes, and he's only played 19 games. So yeah, let's call them our sub in. You know, maybe that for the rest of the show here, if we get Amon Shumpert or Zach Randolph, that'll be our substitute. Is McLemore and Kufis, because they're still on the roster. So yeah, I like this one. Again, it's kind of similar to the first one, where it was just like, well, trade a guy who's, you know, Wes Matthews in particular, even more so than Moutier, is a guy that's not someone that the Knicks need or should particularly want for the rest of the year. Like, I think they played him kind of big minutes these last two games to try to showcase him, and he totally shit the bed and shot like, you know, 1 for 99 over the last two games. But, you know, I would do this for sure and not think twice about it. You get Orlando's second rounder, which is going to be an early second round pick. That could be like a new Mitch Robinson kind of thing. And, you know, McLemore and Kufis expiring, just like Matthews. So that's perfect. I mean, I think it's pretty good from all angles. And I think it would work under the cap with that number. I don't know if maybe they have like a trade exception or something that they could move out as well if they need to make up a couple million dollars or something. But yeah, I like this trade. I think it's sensible. You know, it's very sensible, and and kind of boring, but in a good way. Like, it's a good boring. It's very Scott Perry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm into it for sure. And our next trade, unfortunately, your idea of replacing Costa Kufis and or one of Costa Kufis and Ben McLemore with four Zach Randolph flies right out the window, because all three of them are involved in this two-part trade by Jose Dingo that I just at JR Dingo on Twitter, and I want to really applaud Jose, because this is so convoluted and it only clears $1 million in cap space. Given, as you mentioned in yesterday's podcast, that the Knicks can buy out Lance Thomas at the end of the season for just $1 million. But hey, it's kind of fun. So let's get into it. It's Wesley Matthews, part one of this deal. And you have to do these two as separate deals for, I presume, cap reasons. Wesley Matthews.
I can explain real quick.
Oh, sure. Yeah, go. Thank you.
It's the reason that you're doing this as two deals is if the Knicks move either Wesley Matthews or DeAndre Jordan, because of the way the CBA works, since they just received them in trade, within the first 60 days that you receive players in trade, you can only trade them by themselves. You can't trade them aggregating them with another player on your team. You can receive multiple players back, but you can't like trade them out just for... Like, you can't trade them out with somebody else. Sorry, I totally lost my train of thought there. Can't trade them with somebody else. You can only trade them by themselves is basically the Cliff's Notes for that. So that's why you have to do this as two separate trades, technically.
Right. And someone asked us about Twitter. Someone asked us about that on Twitter today. And I, like, had no idea that rule existed. So I appreciate you educating me, Alex. And I would be interested to see when that rule came into play, because I don't really ever remember that being a thing. But
It's at least two CBAs old, if I'm not mistaken. I would suggest, Gavin, if you need like a nice Sunday read one day and the Knicks aren't on, you know, playing a matinee, sure, check out CBAFAQ.com. Mm. And I'd say any listener that's interested too. I mean, it's like a super accessible resource with salary cap information if you're ever into it. So, I mean, it was written by Larry Kuhn, who used to write for ESPN. And he was like their capologist for a long time. And now I think he's like retired now, but he still does the CBA FAQ website just because he's like a really good person, I guess, because I don't think he gets any compensation for it or anything. He literally updates it after every single CBA when rules change and everything else. So it's pretty dope. It's one of my favorite websites. Really useful if you're writing basketball articles.
He is also a computer scientist and information technology manager at the University of California, Irvine. So fun facts on Larry Kuhn in this podcast, and then a little bit of an education on the CBA. All right, so the deal is Wesley Matthews for Costa Kufis and Ben McLemore. And the second part of the trade is Lance Thomas and Emmanuel Mudiay for Zach Randolph. So the Kings get a little bit of added depth for their playoff run, and the Knicks get off $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. If the money wouldn't work, you could probably just... If you wanted to adjust this one and just turn it into straight up like that, getting that $1 million of... No, that wouldn't even work. I don't know. I don't really... I'm going to be totally honest. I'm not totally sure like why the Knicks in particular would do this one, because it's $1 million in the scope of like $110 million cap. And I don't think $1 million is going to make a difference as far as like luring max free agents. So... To me, this one's a little bit of a head scratcher. I do think, like, if you wanted to do it and make it sort of like the last trade that we just did, where we subbed in Kufis and McLemore for Shumpert, you could maybe, if you could get the numbers to work, do two separate trades where you do Wesley Matthews and Costa Kufis, or Wesley Matthews for Costa Kufis and Ben McLemore, and then do a second deal. That would be Mudiay for like Yogi Ferrell and a second round pick, because I think Yogi's contract is either mostly or completely unguaranteed for next year. That could work. I mean, I would say that's not a bad deal, because then you get Ferrell, who's another guy you can just sort of try out for the rest of the year. And I would say they would probably say that Mudiay is an upgrade over Ferrell at the backup point guard position, particularly from what you want out of a backup point guard. So, yeah, that might be a way to restructure this. As the deal is, I mean, no offense to Jose. I'm sure he's a super cool dude and stuff, but I just don't totally get this one other than just clearing the extra cap for the Knicks, which I don't, if it was clearing like $5-6 million, I could be like, okay, like that's legit. But just for an extra $1 million worth of cap relief, I don't see why you would get rid of really the only player, well, the only two players like worth anything in the deal. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, maybe this might even be an indictment on us, but I'm almost like amazed like we even attempted to get two episodes out of this, because like, I mean, given the Knicks' current situation, they're in so many ways like one of the least conducive teams in the league to talk trades with, because their only incentive is to clear money, and they essentially accomplished that in the KP trade, and now they're just kind of operating on the margins, and like they're like the theoretical like next level of utility for them to be derived out of a deal would be getting like second round picks, unless they could come up with some creative way to throw a combination of assets together that results in a first round pick, which is a concept that we might get to in our next segment. So we'll call this one of our shortest segments ever. Take a break, come back, and talk about a potential deal with the Philadelphia 76ers.
All right, welcome back in. Last segment of the trade bag. We got a couple more thrilling trades for you guys on this trade deadline day. So we're going to first do one from avid LOK listener and PNT dude and Twitter user that we hang with all the time, Bugsy Sig. He's at Bugsy Sig on Twitter. And this was technically given to the PNT mailbag, but screw it. Like, we're all a big family. You know what I'm saying? We all bleed orange and blue. And I work for both. So, you know, perks. But so we got a deal between the Knicks and the 76ers, which I think this is actually very sensible. So the original trade called for Mike Muscala and 2 second round picks to the Knicks in exchange for Emmanuel Mudiay and Noah Vonleh. As it stands, obviously, Muscala was just part of that deal that got Tobias Harris into Philly. But there's an easy and perhaps even 10 times better replacement available, because Mike Muscala, you know, as much as he's kind of a talented basketball player and, you know, shoots the three pretty well and stuff, he kind of looks like your first drug dealer that you ever met. He's just got that look about him. And I don't know if I would want someone that looks that sketchy on the Knicks, but you can get a big, lovable dude, a big, lovable, like 7 foot plus dude that can replace the other big, formerly lovable seven foot plus European dude on the team, Boban Marjanovic. Let's bring him in. He's making $7 million, 1 year expiring deal. Perfect. It almost works out perfect, the math for this trade. The Knicks actually acquire a little bit extra salary than they would have in the deal if it had Muscala, but get an infinitely more entertaining dude who can dunk without jumping. So I would be super happy with this trade. I think it would make, I really like, legitimately, if the Sixers are serious about like trying to like legit compete this year and maybe get to an NBA finals and get past the Bucks and the Raptors and everything else, this is a trade that you would want to make, because if there's one guy that's been able to lock down Giannis this year more than pretty much anyone else, it's been Noah Vonleh. And that's the guy you're gonna have to lock down in the playoffs and take away all that, you know, freakish athleticism stuff that Giannis does. And he's, I think Vonleh could pretty reasonably fit into a lineup of Simmons, Butler, Harris, and Embiid. And that would be a pretty sweet, like, switchy lineup that could probably keep up with a lot of teams on defense. I don't know your thoughts about that, Gavin, but I think this trade would be, like, honestly, more perfect now than when it was initially sent to us before the Sixers even made their blockbuster trade.
No, it makes a whole lot of sense. We were talking pre-show, like, I was kind of surprised in that Clippers deal this morning, the Sixers didn't insist on getting Patrick Beverley back in that deal, because now they kind of have a just massive hole at backup point guard, and Emmanuel Mudiay, he's here to fill it. And the biggest advantage Philly has over everyone right now is they just have a super-sized starting lineup, like Ben Simmons at like however tall he is, like 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", J.J. Redick, 6'4", Tobias Harris, 6'6", 6'7", Jimmy Butler, 6'6", 6'7", 6'8". JoJo's obviously huge. Then you either slide like Vonleh in with that group in some rotations. You have Emmanuel Mudiay at 6'6", coming off the bench. They get to stay supersized. Vonleh and Mudiay Neither is an elite shooter, but they don't like totally take that quality off the table. And just defensively, like if the Sixers want to go to like a switch everything mentality, which is really feasible given how athletic they are across the board and just how big they are across the board, like these two guys allow them to do that with impunity, to steal a Clyde term. And the Knicks get Boban. And if you told me preseason the Knicks would have a star of John Wick 3 and not Kristaps Porzingis on their roster, I would have called you insane. But I'm ready for it to happen at this point. I think he could make the tank gods, as you referenced earlier, very happy. He could make my tank judges extraordinarily happy. And he would just be, he's really like the antithesis to Enes Kanter in all ways, outside of the fact that they're both from Europe. Like he's like genuinely, earnestly funny instead of like forced cringy funny. Knicks fans could love him, not sarcastically. And when he was on the floor, he would be super efficient and contribute in all the ways you want to, instead of just in raw box score numbers that don't really help anyone. So I think this would be perfect. And if the Knicks could pick up a second rounder or two in this deal, though Philly is obviously on a deficit of picks and maybe they'd be hesitant to part with a lot of them, they're clearly all in at this point. So I think the Knicks could pry one, if not two, second rounders from their cold dead hands. And this would be an awesome deal for both sides.
Yeah, I don't even think I know the Sixers have kind of depleted their first round pick treasure chest at this point, but I'm looking right now just to see. I think they actually still have a decent amount of second rounders coming their way.
Well, and they still have a few guys in Europe like that they're waiting on. So like they are like they're loaded.
They have that first off, and then incoming, they still have it looks like a Chicago second rounder coming in this year. A second rounder from Milwaukee or Sacramento, the most favorable coming in this year, so probably Sacramento's. They have either Brooklyn or New York's next year. They have Dallas's second rounder next year. They have in 2021, they have Denver and the Knicks' second round picks. And in 2022, they have Toronto's. So, I mean, they have, and they only are sending as one second rounder out in 2022. So, I mean, they still have a ton of second rounders. So they could pretty easily ship like even the two for this year, the Sacramento one and the Chicago one, which are going to be high second round picks, or even one of those and another one for a future year, maybe give the Knicks their 2021 pick back or something like that, or the 2020, whatever. But yeah, there's a lot of options as far as dealing with Sixers and second round picks. And if they're truly in contending mode, now's the time to give those second round picks out like candy, if you think it can make you better for like a deep playoff run here. Because really, we were just talking about it before. They've got to, they have to really prove themselves to. We might have been talking about that off air, and now that I think about it, but
yeah,
they really have to be like proving themselves at this point to Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. To be like, look, like you guys should stay here because they're both unrestricted free agents this offseason. So either one of them could potentially throw a wrench in Philly's plans and just walk if they so choose. So it's kind of like a prove it situation right now where they got to make sure that they show these two guys that they want to be cornerstones with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, that like this is the place to be and that they can make a deep run together as long as, everybody sort of buys in and whatever. So, yeah, I like this one a lot. It's good. I think Philly is a very reasonable trade partner for the Knicks at this point for some of their more attractive guys. And I think that Moutier and Vonleh are definitely like their two most attractive pieces at this point.
Yeah. And obviously it's been reported that they have an expressed interest in Wes Matthews as well. And again, they're just so desperate for shooting and some modicum of defense off the bench. I mean, particularly with including Shamit in that deal. I think there's a real market for whichever like two of the three you want to look for between Moutier, Vonleh, probably the most important in that group, and Wesley Matthews. Like, I think there's very much a deal to be done here, almost to the point that I'd be surprised if nothing else, there weren't reports of these two teams talking about something. These with Wesley Matthews, at least as far as we've heard, like, I don't think there hasn't been a concrete report of talks actually being initiated between those two teams, but I could definitely see something just popping up around 2 o'clock tomorrow, and I wouldn't be totally shocked because the pieces and like the respective incentives just kind of match up too cleanly for there not to be some kind of conversation between the two teams. All right, with that, let's go on to our 12th and final trade. We had to slip in one more Anthony Davis trade for you. This one's a little bit more stupid. Joseph Zapata at Joseph Zapatol, or is it Joseph? No, Joseph Zapata the third. Sorry to Joseph Zapata the first and second. Hope all three of them are doing well on Twitter. This one also a P&T question. So Alex, thanks for being so generous with lending those over to our services here at Locked On Knicks. Joseph suggests Noah Vonleh, Frankie Nicotine. Am I not supposed to say that on here? Frank Ntilikina.
No, then, don't say that. No, that is the worst nickname of all time. It's super like, terrible. I know you like the Ringer guys. This is the worst nickname of all time.
I just got like used to saying it, I think.
No,
like,
do not say it anymore. There's so many other things you call him. Just call him Frank. Just Frank is fine. Or Ntilikina, whatever.
Okay, Franklin the Big French Turtle. Emmanuel Mudiay. Smith, JR. What? All right. Okay.
No, it's Dennis Smith Jr. I think he put that intentionally so that it would look like J.R. Smith, but it's Smith Jr.
Well, he did it. Pulled it off. He pulled it off. All right. Dennis Smith Jr., Mitchell Robinson, David Fizdale, the Garden, and our first round pick for Anthony Davis's left shoe. We may also have to take back Solomon's contract. That's a great Bill Simmons-esque, those are our listeners, kind of trade, but I dig it.
That's a great Bill Simmons anything regarding the Knicks trade, except for lately when he's been kind of nicer to us. I get to fit. So if you need like any further proof that there's something weirdly brewing with the Knicks as far as like free agency and stuff this year with all this Kevin Durant buzz and stuff, it's that all the guys, all the, I'll say, well-respected, very good writers and podcasters and whatever that traditionally have like shit on the Knicks like forever, like Bill Simmons, Zach Lowe is not a big Knicks fan, like all these guys that you typically expect to just like crap all over everything the Knicks do, have all been like weirdly supportive of the moves that the Knicks have been making. Like you would expect in a different era, if there wasn't presumably something brewing, that the Knicks would have gotten, like by the national media at least, more panned for the Porzingis trade. And it's been like, I would say at least 50-50 of people being like, oh, I think this was a decent move, you know, like, and versus people that are like, oh, well, I don't love it, but like, seems like it's what they had to do. And nobody like super hates it and hates that they like kind of sold out for trying to get money for free agency. I don't know. Total different tangent here. Not to distract from this amazing trade proposal, but I just think it's weird. It's weird how like nice everybody's being to the Knicks this year. And it makes me think that everybody's like, all the guys that are in the know are trying not to shit on the Knicks this year because like they know what's going to happen, but they just can't say it yet because it would reveal blatant tampering. And they're kind of like holding their tongues this year and or trying to like be nice. I don't know. But maybe that's just my like tinfoil hat theory.
Yeah, I don't know. I would say that's like, I would only say that I like the idea. I would only say it's conspiratorial in the sense, like, I don't know what like incentive reporters have not to detail tampering. I guess like the theory would be like they were told the stuff off the record. And obviously you have journalistic integrity. You can't really break that. I will say Bill Simmons did say on his podcast today, that was excellent. I'd recommend people check it out. That in regards to the Knicks trade, that it was, I like, he thinks KD is coming, but he said if he doesn't, then he would consider it the worst trade ever, which is basically, I mean, or not like, or like one of the worst trades ever, which is essentially my take, but we don't need to go too far down that road right now. Let's just both admire the humor of Joseph Zapata and this excellent trade. Anthony Davis's left shoe.
Let's grade it. Let's grade the trade. What's your grade for this one?
I'm going to give it... Oh, boy, I don't know. Do we know the contract figure for Anthony Davis's left shoe? That I mean, ultimately kind of influences my decision on this.
Maybe like half of Anthony Davis's salary, since it like holds up half his body.
Sure. Okay. All right. So you have that and Solomon Hill. You probably only have room for one more max guy at that point. But I think KD would be into the idea of playing with Solomon Hill and a shoe that at one point has been attached to Anthony Davis's left
foot. Can we take Anthony Davis's left shoe and put it on Solomon Hill and have like a like Mike thing go on where he gets all of Anthony Davis's powers?
Or half of them, because he only got one of the shoes.
Well, even if you had half of an Anthony Davis, that's still a pretty damn good, player, right?
That's like 15, like 4 and like 3 a game with like a block. And like decent defense, like points, dynamic offense. That's a nice player. And someone that Kevin Durant wants to play with and would only be making a combined like $27 million a year. So let's call it an A. I think we're getting Kevin Durant with half like Mike or half like brow Solomon Hill.
I mean, could we like pull off a heist where we go steal his right shoe too, so then we could get a fully Anthony Davis Solomon Hill? That I think that would be cool. I think this has to be worked into the trade. We have to work in like while we're at the facility, we'll insist on going down to the Pelicans facility to finalize the deal and sign it in person because we're super professionals. And then while there, we'll pull off a heist and we'll steal Anthony Davis's right shoe and it'll be like Ocean's 11. We can have like Moutier distract the guard by like falling over. Oh my God. Because Moutier falls over all the time. He'll fall over and pretend that he's going to file an insurance claim against the Pelicans. And that'll distract security and stuff. And then who's small? Who's a small guy? We lost Trey Burke. We need someone who can sneak through the air vents and like disable the security system.
Sure.
And then someone, I think Mitch seems like he could slither in and steal the shoe without people noticing. Maybe even like wear a hoodie because he's like about Anthony Davis's size and he's trained with him. He knows his mannerisms. He can like sneak in, pretend to be Anthony Davis, and then walk out with the right shoe.
Yeah, and we can like everyone else can shave their eyebrows and kind of like build it up in like a bucket, and then we could just tape that on collectively to the middle of his face to really sell it.
It's perfect. All right, I think we've got a not just a great trade proposal here, but we also have a Knicks themed Ocean's 11 movie, and I'm very much into it. Maybe we could call it like Perry's 17, because we could do all the whole roster, including the two-way players. Everybody gets involved.
Sure. And it ends with the franchise star getting traded away halfway through. All right. With that, we wrap up this edition of the Locked On Knicks podcast. Gavin Shaw, Alex Wolf, we wish you all a happy trade deadline. Just a reminder, again, I'm going to be on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On Podcast Network's first ever live NBA trade deadline show. So you could shut off the jump or whatever else you're planning on watching and tune in at 1:35 on YouTube to check me out with David Locke, Josh Lloyd, and presumably some of the Locked On Mavs guys, excited to get to talk to them to relitigate the KP trade. And then if the Knicks actually make a real deal, presumably I'll be on to talk about that. So something to watch out for tomorrow. Until then, be well. If the Knicks make a deal tomorrow, I think we're going to have a podcast tomorrow. If the Knicks do nothing tomorrow, then we'll probably be back with you Saturday morning to break down 96 minutes of thrilling basketball between the Knicks and Pistons. It doesn't get any better than those two matching up twice in a week. So for Alex, I'm Gavin. Peace out. Be well. Tune in.